Ned, in your book, you say that over the last 100 years that we've had a slow-moving revolution against the founders and the Constitutional Republic, all of this moving steadily toward an administrative state. Can you expand a little bit on that statement?
In the early 20th century, the progressive statists, I refuse to call them just progressives because I think they're extremely regressive in how they approach government and life in general, they put in motion the administrative state, which was a complete and total rejection of the founders, specifically on a few fronts. One being, they viewed the Constitution and the machinery of our constitutional republic as more of a bug than a feature because they deeply resented the separation of powers. What they wanted to do was consolidate essentially the executive, legislative, and judicial powers into one entity, the administrative state, which would annihilate the separation of powers that the founders felt was vital to our constitutional republic, and more importantly, vital to protecting our rights. And progressives wholesale rejected that approach. They were, I call them utopian statists. They believed that the state was salvation. Everything should be subsumed by the state. And they believed that they truly could build a utopia here on earth. And so they rejected the realistic optimism of the founders. And I call the founders optimistic realists because they were very realistic about human nature. They knew that we were imperfect human beings in an imperfect world that should never be trusted with consolidated power. But they were optimistic that they could create a rights-based government that would protect our rights and take none of them away. And so what the founders did was establish that. And then what progressives did was actually rejected that beginning of the 20th century. And that's why I call it a regime change, slow-moving revolution against the founders. Because over the last 100 years, call it 110 years, the progressives have been working steadily towards consolidating power into this administrative state and really truly annihilating the constitutional republic and separation of powers. And I think, honestly, having been in D.C. for almost 25 years, I think some people want to believe that we are still a constitutional republic, but in reality, I think we're operating under the progressive status, administrative state governing philosophy.
So we have been moving in this direction now for, as you put it, over about the last 100 years. How is it that Congress in particular, Ned, has abdicated its role, its power to the executive branch?
First of all, deeply unconstitutional. I want to be very clear on that front. The administrative state is deeply unconstitutional, even to the point of, I would say, deeply un-American. It is outside of the American tradition. And Woodrow Wilson, who I call one of the four progressive horsemen, actually was very honest that he drew his ideas from the Prussian and French models, had nothing to do with the American tradition. But over the course of time, Congress, the Article I branch, has really, of its own volition, subdelegated, again, unconstitutional, its legislating powers to the Article II branch, the executive, where most of the administrative state resides. And so it kind of was creeping slowly through the 20th century, but I would say a real turning point was late 1960s, early 1970s, where Congress went out and actually created more departments, more agencies, and then basically handed the power of governance to these unelected bureaucrats inside the administrative state in the executive branch. And so I would say over the last, we'll call it 50-some years, I would argue that some of the self-governing aspects have really been more of an illusion because Congress, think about what Congress does these days. They pass 4,000 or 5,000-page bills that really are just kind of a framework that lay out, you know, kind of in general what they expect or hope for, and then they send it to these bureaucrats and they let them frame out in very specific terms how that will look for the everyday American, the people, for corporations, all of these things, essentially handing to them the power of legislation and governing, which I will add is always what the progressives wanted. They truly believe that the administrators, the bureaucrats, the managerial class should be the ones governing this country. And in fact, the only separation they believed in was separating those administrators out from political accountability, therefore even removing them even more so from accountability to the American people. Because I tell people all the time, elections come and go, right? Administrations come and go. The state always remains. And I think that is very problematic for us trying to get back to a constitutional republic.
Is this one of the reasons why, Ned, if we look at Project 2025, which was a project of the Heritage Foundation, and to be clear, not done by the Trump campaign, not endorsed by the Trump. In fact, the president has disavowed it. The advertising we're seeing here in Pennsylvania, where we are based, the Harris campaign continues to spin falsehoods and lies about that. But if you look at the anger that Project 2025 has engendered from the left, is it because this is a dagger right at the heart of that administrative state?
In some ways, woman, you are correct. It's a shame that Project 2025 has been so problematic for Trump. Again, to state clearly, it's not him. He has nothing to do with it. But the general sense of any ideas, of course, Project 2025 deals with some of these things, that says we will not accept the premise of the administrative state anymore. We reject the premise. We reject the status quo. The people that have been in D.C. that have been a part of that see that as an existential threat. And I tell people, and I've told Trump this to his face, the Russian collusion hoax, the Ukrainian quid pro quo, all of these hoaxes and fantasies and fairy tales that were pushed as real had nothing to do with any of that. It had everything to do with who decides. And Donald Trump, as the great outsider, came into D.C. and said, I'm the duly elected president of the United States. I'm the one who decides both domestic and foreign policy. And they said, we don't think so. And so what they were trying to do over the course of really the last, I would argue, 9 years, is destroy someone who they think is a true threat to the administrative state, because they realized, even more so than Donald Trump, I would argue, that a powerful executive who wanted to actually go after the administrative state, since most of it's in the executive branch, could actually do significant damage to it over 4 years in dismantling, devolving, and I would argue destroying it. Because again, Loman, the foundation of the swamp that Donald Trump wants to drain is the administrative state. If you break the state, you can drain the swamp. They know that. And I think Donald Trump, after 4 years and after the last interlude between his first administration, hopefully second, has come to understand, I think he knows what the real problem is the administrative state. And if he can deal with that in a forceful way for 4 years, I think he gives us a real shot of restoring the republic.
How do we do that, aside from electing a president who will aggressively go after the administrative state? Are there other mechanisms that can be used to start reining that power back in?
Loman, I'm laughing because, again, had been in D.C. for decades. That would require a certain amount of political courage from Congress, the legislative branch, which has been in short order. I do think there are a couple things. First of all, the American people have to be aware of what's going on. The corporate propagandists, you know, the regime media, as I call them, who ABC, CBS, all these folks, they're not giving the American people the truth of what is. The American people need to understand how D.C. actually operates. Once the American people fully understand, it's going to be about the American people saying, we reject this. This has nothing to do with a government of, by, and for the people that's actually supposed to benefit the American people. In fact, we're kind of an afterthought in this form of administrative state government. I think the other thing that's taking place, again, that's causing real concern for these administrative state bureaucrats and those that believe in it, SCOTUS. SCOTUS overturned Chevron deference this past summer, in which they said, we will no longer have the judicial branch defer to the decisions of the administrative state. The other thing that they did that I thought was very interesting this summer, Loman, they went after the SEC and said, you can no longer have your administrative law tribunals, in which in the SEC, these tribunals were literally the judge, jury, and executioner. They said that is deeply unconstitutional and in defiance of the Seventh Amendment. And so you see the Supreme Court going after the foundations of the administrative state. If you can get Donald Trump in there, and I lay out in the last chapter all of these reform items that he can do, and then the American people fully understanding and saying, we reject this, I think you could actually create the perfect storm in which people say, we're not doing this anymore. We want a republic. We want a government of, by, and for the people. We want to see an end to the administrative state.
We have been talking with Ned Ryan. He is founder and CEO of American Majority, also author of the new book, American Leviathan, The Birth of the Administrative State and Progressive Authoritarianism. Ned, where can folks go if they want to purchase a copy of American Leviathan?
They can go to Amazon pre-order. Comes out September 17th, and they can do that. And I would strongly encourage people, Loman, this is, in my mind, the book is a conversation starter for people to fully understand. This is what's going on in D.C., and the question is, will you accept it? And do we continue down this path? Are you going to fully understand what's going on and reject it? So go to Amazon, pre-order it, and I think people will find it deeply illuminating as to the reality of how DC has been operating, quite frankly, for over a century.
And tell us a little bit about American Majority, and where can folks go to learn more about American Majority?
They can go to AmericanMajority.org. I founded it in 2008 with the idea of really going out and equipping good men and women to understand that they have to be equipped to run for school boards and city councils and county commissions and state house and state senate. The idea that we should equip ourselves to be effective politically. I truly believe that if we are equipped, politics is policy. If we can win the political fights at the state and local level and then build up to the federal level, that's how you cause real lasting generational change. And so we equip people on how do you put together a campaign plan, how do you fundraise, how do you message, all of these things that I think are really basic to understanding how you can go and run for local office and be effective. So AmericanMajority.org is the website, and we've done trainings all over the country, all 50 states, and we're creeping up on getting close to 100,000 people trained to be effective in their local communities and cause that change to take place.
Ned Ryan of American Majority. Ned, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much, Loan.